It's the Musician's Map podcast. It's not dead, it's just been resting, but it lives. Music publishing. What is it? How does it work? And do you need it? This episode, I'm talking to Jan Hellriegel, who runs a company called Songbroker, and who prides herself on a different approach to music publishing, as you're about to hear. Jan is a singer-songwriter who formed the Kiwi band Cassandra's Ears before a successful solo career in the early 90s and until this day. She has toured with and supported the likes of The Cure, Jeff Buckley, and David Byrne. She's performed as a guest vocalist for many bands you might have heard of, such as Straightjacket Fits, The Verlaines, and The Muttonbirds, notably on their massive hit single, Nature. Her company, Songbroker, specializes in licensing original music by New Zealand songwriters. I'll let Jan give you the whole story.
I have been writing music since I was born. No, I've been doing it a really long time, and I didn't actually think music would be a career when I was at school. So I was learning the piano when I was learning opera singing and stuff, but I didn't think you could actually do it as a job. So I was very delighted when I got to Otago University and discovered all those Flying Nun bands that were around, because I thought, wow, that's great. You can actually write your own songs and get up on stage. So my brother actually dragged me onto stage one night in his band working with Walt, which I'm very thankful for because I was very shy. And then I got asked to form a band for a women's festival, an all-women's band, which we did. And that band was called Cassandra's Ears. And so I was in that band for about 5 years. And that's where I learned the touring traps. Mm. Is that the word? Well, anyway, I learned how to plan a band with that band, Cassandra's Ears, and we were pretty good by the end of our tenure. And then kind of was all coming to an end when we all moved back to Auckland, and I got a record company off from Warner Music to join their label. So then I did a couple of solo albums with them. This is just like cutting everything really short,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, great, perfect.
And so then I quit for a while. I didn't actually quit. I don't think I've ever quit from writing music, but I quit the industry for a few years and I got into sales and marketing and business because I was really interested in it. And I also had some children, so I really wanted to spend some time with them. So I'd stayed home a little bit too, which is really cool. Then about sort of 8 years ago, I thought I'd quite like to get back into the music industry to support other artists and what they're doing, and I'd like to write a bit more as well, and I kind of missed it because it's what I do. It's what I always have done. Anyway, so what happened is I found the career that I've always should have been in, which is music publishing, because music publishing is all about marketing and selling music. Mm. And because I love music, all sorts, you know, any type, any genre, and I like making the stuff, music publishing is perfect. And so I learned how music publishing worked, and then I decided that what would be really cool is if we had a New Zealand-centric music publisher for New Zealand artists that had a pretty good deal whereby you didn't have to sign up for 10 years or whatever, and you could leave if you didn't like working with us. Yeah. Because I was in one of those old-fashioned publishing deals. On the way to the top, everyone loves you and they want you and they, you know, they'll give you a big fat advance and it's all very exciting. But on the way down, the phone stops being answered and you find yourself alone, but you're stuck with a publishing contract that means that someone else has the rights over your music. I didn't want to start a publishing company like that. I wanted to start one that was actually for artists that felt that they still had control over their music, which they do. Mm. And I wanted to do my best to actually be a really good publisher. And that means marketing and trying to find places to put their songs. Yep. So that their songs are heard and they are getting royalties for those songs.
And that company is?
Songbroker.
Ta-da. Ta-da. Could you talk us through in super layman's terms the process that an artist would go through getting a music publishing deal and what that means?
Well, yeah, music publishing, it's kind of like the smoke and mirrors of the music industry. It sounds so complicated, but in a nutshell, and this is what I've learned in my... Because when I signed a publishing contract when I first started, I had no idea what it was. And I had lawyers look at it and everything, but no one actually really explained to me what it was I was signing. I signed it, I was very naive. I was just desperate for the check. I think that happens a lot. You know, you'd prefer to take a check now than actually maybe consider what it is you're actually signing away.
Yeah.
And so I was fortunate in that I didn't sign a perpetuity deal, which, you know, those do exist, and there have been publishers that have signed people, you know, for $50 in perpetuity, and they think that's okay, that's ethically okay, and it's not in my book. And I find that very hard to get my head around, that companies will do that or have done that, and then they won't release the artist to this day. They say, oh, well, you signed it. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, there's a matter of principle on that one. So when I signed my contract and I didn't know anything about it, I was very fortunate that I didn't sign something ridiculously long. And when I was starting out, the advances were a lot better than they are now. Because one of the incomes for a publisher is mechanical royalties, which is that were paid through from record labels for record sales. And because of streaming and things, that doesn't really happen so much anymore. Yeah. So that income disappeared. So you would get your advance, and then you would, all your income from all your royalties would come off that advance. So if you paid off your advance quickly, then you win, basically. You maybe, let's just take a number. Say you got a $25,000 advance and you pay that off really, really quickly, that's great. But if you don't pay it off really, really quickly, then you're sitting on that advance for quite some years and it's whittling down, and your publisher gets a percentage of that income. So let's say it's 30% on the dollar. You'll get 70% to go towards your advance, and the publisher will get 30% to go to their business. And if it's sync, you know, it could be 40 or 50% that the publisher gets, and you get your 40 or 50 and 60 or 50, and then that gets paid off your advance. So you whittle down your advance that way. The thing about advances is you don't have to pay them back. So if a publisher gives you a $25,000 advance, you don't have to pay that back. It's just that it might take a very long time for you to get that advance down.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, and down to zero. And then some publishing agreements have a thing called a retention period, which means that they can continue to collect on your royalties, the percentage that you'd signed to, for, you know, 5 or 10 years after your agreement's finished, which basically means they still have it for another 10 years and you still don't have your music for 10 years. So you've got to really watch those retention periods. Those retention periods can be they're a long tail. That was the way it used to be done. But now I think what's happening is that it's very hard for a publisher to give an advance in the current state of the, you know, with the streaming incomes, what they are. Because you've got to look at it like, you know, they're going to give you an advance for something. And what happens if you're not getting any royalties?
Yeah.
So therefore, no one's just going to hand you money if they don't think they're going to get a return on it, because they're basically investing in you, I guess that would be. So whenever you sign a publishing deal and you are looking at signing a full-service publishing deal with an advance, you've got to think about what that actually means. So if you never pay that advance back, then you never really get your songs back. And so looking back now at my young self when I signed a publishing agreement, from what I know now, I would not have signed for the retention period that I did, and I probably would have liked to have known a little bit more about what I was doing.
Sure.
But that's another reason why Songbroker doesn't do it like that. I just want artists to feel that they are in control of their work, and I'm there to help them and support them and market their music, but I'm not here to take their music from them or control it. outside of what they want me to do.
So if we could create a scenario where I'm an artist and I'm looking to sign a music publishing deal, how would I go about doing that with Songbroker?
Well, yeah, because yeah, I mean, I can only talk on behalf of Songbroker. Yeah. Just from my perspective as an artist who's just about to release something, it would have to be a pretty damn good bloody publishing deal for me to even look at one at the moment. Mm. You know, they'd have to show me how they were going to work my music and how they were going to market it. And the odds are that they probably wouldn't offer me much at all, to be honest. So I don't know how you get a publishing deal at the moment. I think you have to prove yourself as a songwriter and get quite well known. But if you look at songs, you know, a lot of songs are written by about six different people, you know. Songwriters are producing songs to sell.
Yeah.
Where my heart always was is I write songs because I love writing songs.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that in there because I can't talk on behalf of any other publishing models because we are very, very different.
Mm.
We sign the songs. We sign songwriters and their songs. And if there's lots of co-writers in the band, we sign all of them too. But we sign the music because we love the music and we think that the songs are great and they're produced well.
Okay.
And I don't see it as a business transaction. I see it as working with great music.
Sure.
And so if you wanted to sign to Songbroker, it's easy enough. You just contact us on our website page. We don't really give out our emails or anything. Mm. And we can't actually sign everybody. We won't sign people that are overseas at this point. We're just a New Zealand-centric publishing company. Occasionally we'll bend the rules a little, but we're concentrating here at the moment. And we'll just basically ask you some questions about your music and have a listen to some of it. We don't really like working with samples.
Mm-hmm.
Uncleared samples.
Creates a whole lot of mess, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just too much work and we're not really that interested. And that actually is a bit unfortunate because it stops a lot of songs that we could potentially sign. But all I can say to people is, you know, create your own samples and loops and sounds because in the end it makes your life a lot easier. Makes life a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's a pretty easy sign-up process. But you have to be original. You can't have another publisher. And we also license the master recording for sync because we work on an all-in basis. Our online search engine is all the rights are with us and that makes life a lot easier for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's why we're a little bit different as well. But we do all the legal work and the, you know, negotiations and stuff. So we're quite handy.
Yeah.
And I'm always happy if someone's got a question about something to advise them what something means because that's what I didn't have when I was starting out. I did not know what I signed.
Yeah.
And I know now what I signed. I know inch by inch every word on a contract now and what it actually means. But that's one of the biggest things to get your head around is, you know, if you're signing something, you've got to understand, even if a lawyer's looking at it for you, you've got to ask the lawyer, why are they asking for that? What exactly is a mechanical royalty? What is a sync royalty? What does that mean? So you always understand all those things.
What sort of vetting process do you have? What sort of artists are you looking for? What has an artist had to have achieved in order to get
we're just worried about the song or we're focused on the song.
Sure.
So, look, it doesn't actually really matter. They don't have to have done anything. As long as
song.
It's good.
Yeah.
We're not in it for how famous people are or if they, you know, are considered, I don't know, the next biggest thing. That's not important. The songs are important because songs have a very long life.
Mm.
I'm interested in songs that I think people have worked hard on and they're very, very good.
Mm.
I don't see it as, you know, whether or not they're in the chart at the moment. I see it as whether or not in 5, 10, 20, 15 years, can we get this song onto something?
Yeah.
So we just put some of Graham Downes' songs from the Verlaines onto a Netflix show.
Mm.
And those songs are, 30 years old.
Yeah.
So So it doesn't actually really matter what's in or out or what's fashionable or what genre is the one that you know, that's, we're a publisher, so yeah. We publish whatever we like. Everything else around it is just numbers and data.
Yeah.
That doesn't concern us at all.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, in your eyes, what makes a good song? What makes something that you like?
That you've done it. I'm not here to make the call on what's a great song. I'm here to make the call on what's produced well.
Mm.
You know, if it sounds good.
Yep.
Because there's lots of types of genres. And the other thing is, one thing that is makes us a bit different is we, because in our search engine we'll put songs up that you've actually performed on. You know, if your singing isn't quite good enough or if the production isn't good enough, then we won't put it up because that's your calling card. So that's your song. You've written that song. If you haven't performed it very well, then you don't really want to be attached to that. You should go off and get someone else to perform it that's really good, you know?
Sure.
So that's one thing that we do look out for. We can't have people singing their own songs that aren't very good at singing.
Mm.
And if you're not very good at singing, that's fine. You just need to practice. Yeah. I always say, you know, you can do it, but you've got to come to us when you're ready, not when you're sort of hoping that we'll like it. If you don't think it's amazing and in tune, then don't give it to us because we're going to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe artists should be asking multiple people for advice before they approach the thing.
Most people ask their family and friends and then we're going to say that it's fine.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do have to let people know that I think that it's not quite good enough or the production qualities aren't good enough.
Mm.
Because that we're trying to on-sell that into film or TV or productions or ads or whatever.
Yeah.
No one's going to want it if it's half-assed produced.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it'd be best to just work on it again until you got it right. But this is again, once you've written a song, the song exists, you can actually keep recording it and reworking it and remastering it until it's actually good and you're proud of it and you want it to go out to the world.
Mm.
But it's a different business now, music business. It's not like it used to be because it's you can produce songs and then no one will hear them.
Mm.
That's kind of what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So I'm always optimistic. I always think, well, how can we create something out of that? And so at least Songbroker is one avenue where you can actually have your music online. And it's, we're getting quite big, but you'll never be in the middle of billions. You're going to be one of thousands.
Yeah.
And you're searchable on your genre. And so you're not kind of put in with who's now. Like I find with Spotify, it suddenly jumps to a song that I would never have wanted to hear. It's kind of like they plant them there.
They do.
Yeah. And so we won't do that. Well, if you want to search our search engine, you'll be searching on, you know, songs or ideas or themes or moods, but you won't, you know, we're not going to plant a song in your way just so you can hear it. I think that's what happened with me because I had all these songs that I'd done in my career.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the it girl anymore. Because this was years later.
Yeah.
Does that mean my work doesn't mean anything anymore? Does it mean it doesn't exist? That's what I thought. And I thought, no, that's rubbish because it's still, they're still really good songs. They're just not released now. And why do you have to fit in with what's big now? What does now mean anyway? I mean, it's a bit of a philosophical question, but a good song lasts for a long time. So I thought, wow, I would like to know my songs were findable at least.
Yep.
And then I thought the job of a music publisher is to make your songs findable.
Sure.
And it's to market them.
Yep.
And so sort of born out of that idea is like if we're going to work on this stuff, we want it heard. So Songbroker is all about getting music heard.
And what's the difference between music publishing and licensing?
Well, a music publisher, it's a catalogue. We represent songs. And writers, they're with us. It's an exclusive arrangement. So if anyone wants to license a song on Songbroker, they have to come through us, which is great because it just keeps it all in one place. And often people who are doing films and TV shows, they prefer to know that the company that they're licensing it off has all the legal requirements and documentation there. Okay, it's very hard to license as an independent on your own because you've got to get all the paperwork done.
Yeah.
Licensing means that you're actually going to any publisher to license a song off them. So my other company, Aeroplane, licenses music. I don't work so much in that area anymore. That's Wayne Bell looks after all of that sort of thing. So he works with many publishers and I just work with Songbroker.
Sure.
So you see it's a...
Yep.
So they're very different types of companies.
Yeah. When you submit a song, should you be thinking about submitting an instrumental version of that song?
Always. We'll always ask you for an instrumental. Cool. Absolutely. And remixes, anything you like. I mean, this is the other thing about how I see music. Like, you've written the song. It can be given to us in many, many ways.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be just the way it's done. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah.
Because we take all of your songs. Mm. So if they're on an album, that's great. But if they're not on an album, we'll take them too. They don't need to be released. They don't need to be on Spotify. They can just be some great music you've composed in your room. Although we are going to be putting all of our music that's not on Spotify on Spotify.
Yep.
And there's a reason why we're doing that. But the music industry is a very strange beast because it has these rules and regulations attached to it. But they've only been around for the last 60, 70 years because of the production of things like CDs and vinyl. And so music has been around for centuries in many forms, just on like manuscript or maybe madrigals or choir or, you know, it's many different things, but the emphasis is on the pop industry because that's where all the sales were in the 60s, 70s and 80s. You know, it was like pretty good to be a label at that point.
Yeah.
But where it's at the moment is that it's back to the song. Nothing else exists except for those songs. And that's great because I know that it'd be very hard to get onto the chart because that's not where my audience is.
Sure.
I mean, my son goes, "Oh, Mum, you've got no Spotify followers." And I said, "Yeah, no, I don't, do I?" I don't. I sell CDs still. So my next release will be in the physical format because my audience still likes to have a physical format to buy. So that's fine. But if I just did it like I'm told to do it at the moment, like just release it onto a digital format, then it's just going to do nothing.
Yeah.
No one's going to even know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who made all these rules? Why do I have to do it that way? And why can't I do it this way? And why are we so infatuated with what's on the chart when there's so many different songs being produced in so many different genres in so many different ways? And it's exciting. And that's how I see the music industry. I see it as very, very broad, a kaleidoscope of opportunities right now. It's very, very cool.
Mm. Yeah, you've gotten me thinking, actually.
Sorry about that.
I know, terrible. I shouldn't. It's got me thinking about my music and what I've done with it. And it's just, there's a whole lot of stuff just sitting there doing nothing.
Oh, you should.
And it was released.
Give us a call.
Yeah, I will.
Well, actually, you have to email us or you can give us a call on the landline.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, you're welcome. You can just put it up. And the other thing is, you see, you can take it down again too. But you've got someone that you know looking after it. Like, you can just ring us.
But what you said about how, you know, it's not, if it's not doing anything, it's just sort of wasted, isn't it? It's just sort of...
Well, we don't waste anything.
Yeah.
We use everything. We'll use... That's what I say to people. If you've got other songs sitting there on your computers that are good quality, then give them to us. Mm. You can do whatever you like. I've got some of my production music up. I've got songs up that I would never have on my own albums.
Mm.
But I wrote them and they're songs and they're good songs. So.
And they could work for you. They could...
Or someone might like to record one, or it could be a really good jingle, or you know, it could be anything. So it doesn't actually really matter because there are no rules.
Mm.
Well, I've never been one for the rules anyway, but I don't know why we think there are.
Yeah.
There aren't.
Because people keep telling us there are.
Oh, I don't know who's telling us there. But I've never listened to the rules ever since I started. Once I was in my all-girls band.
Yeah.
We never listen to the rules.
Okay, well, how have you approached recording your new record?
Well, with love and dedication.
Yeah.
And then nothing else.
Are you sticking to a certain genre or a style?
No, they just come out the way they've come out.
Yeah.
I actually don't know where to put this one. All I say is I'm a singer-songwriter genre because that's what I do, but someone was saying on my Facebook page, oh, you can do rock songs, Jan. And I said, well, you're not going to find any on this album.
Yeah.
People might be a bit surprised, but, you know, I'm just writing from the heart and whatever comes out, comes out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that I don't fall into a genre because I'm not going to be a young pop star anymore, am I? I wouldn't even want to be.
Yeah.
So I want to write great songs and I want to produce them well and I want to put them out to the world.
Yeah.
And then I don't care.
What does that process look like?
How do I record?
How do you write?
Oh, how do I write? Well, between looking after my kids and my businesses and stuff in there.
Is there like a happy place, somewhere you go? Have you got like a little studio that you write in?
No, just write in the lounge when I've got time.
Yep.
I've always got songs. I could write another album tomorrow. It's just, for me, it's time. Mm. Time is the, you know, I get a bit busy.
And have you worked with anyone on the record?
I've worked with the usual suspects. I've got Wayne Bell producing, Brett Adams on guitar and Mark Hughes on bass. Mm-hmm. That's my key guys. I would have had Ben Fulton too, but he couldn't make it for the recording sessions. He was away. And then I've played the piano a lot on this one, so I've never done that before. That was quite exciting, seeing I am a piano player.
Yeah.
And I've got some choirs and some brass instruments. I've got the guys from Hopetown Brown on one song, which is
cool.
Awesome. So it's, a lot of it's programmed, some of it's live. My singing's all live.
Mm-hmm.
I like to sing a song in full live.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me not to have to doctor it up.
You're talking one take wonder.
I like taking one take wonders.
Yeah, yeah.
We usually do, there's usually three tracks and we can compile,
yep.
But usually there's one that's damn close.
Seems to be the way.
Because if it's not damn close, then it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not from the heart. So
yeah.
I've got to have it, like, it's got to be in tune and on time, phrasing right and from the heart.
Where did you record it?
The lab this time with Oliver Harmer. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm quite proud of it, actually. It's so not what anyone's going to be expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when can we expect it?
Oh, well, that's a million-dollar question. I've been sort of saying it's coming out for about a year and a half now.
Oh, really?
And the reason why it's taking so long is because, again, time. When I'm working, so it's sort of kind of like night times and on the weekends that I do a lot of my creative stuff. And my kids, of course, come first, so they actually get my first, you know, football and sport, rowing and God knows what else we have to do every day and the weekend. But it's actually being mixed at the moment in Sydney, so getting very exciting. But it's not quite coming out like you'd be expecting as well. So you have to keep an eye on that space. I'm just not got this theory. If I release it right now, as it is, the way that one is expecting me to, which would be I'll release a couple of CDs and put it online, what'll happen is it would probably chart because I've got lots of family and friends that'll help support it because they'll buy it and stuff.
Which is integral to any musician.
Yep. Family and friends, how many have you got? And then it'll go, it'll disappear.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's going to happen. So I'm not going to do it that way.
So you got some scheme.
Oh, no, I've got the scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got this. Yeah, I have, and I'm really excited because for the first time in a long time I feel artistically very free, and it feels fresh, and I'm really excited.
What was the main reason for that change, for that renewed feeling of freedom?
Because I know how everything works, and that's given me a freedom.
Mm.
Well, whenever I'm talking to any people in the music industry about the music, I'm always saying, learn how it works, learn how the business works, because we are, after all, in a business. We're all SMEs, we're all small to medium-sized enterprises. Learn how it works, because that might give you ideas for how you're going to release your music.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I thought, well, so I know how this all works, but that's not working for me. That's not going to work for me because, you know, I'm not trying to be a pop star. I'm not even interested in any way whatsoever about being famous.
Mm.
You know, I don't give a toss about all that stuff. I want to write a great record that people enjoy. And it's an album. It's not supposed to be dissected as a single.
Yeah.
A bunch of singles. It was. It's always meant to be together. It can't. You can't separate them.
Yeah, I believe there's a growing movement back in that direction, towards the album. A lot of the music I listen to is, you know, album based these days. Less about the song, more about the album.
Well, you know, I was thinking about, because when I was a teenager, you know, we were passionate about this stuff. Our artists and that, and we would, you know, we wouldn't care what it cost.
Mm.
We'd just save for the album and we'd go and get it and we'd love it to bits. You ask my kids who is in the chart, they wouldn't even have a clue.
No.
And neither do any of their friends.
Mm.
And I think the issue might be there's a real disconnect, and I've got this theory, and it's all about numbers and data, and it's all dusted by accounting and legal talk.
Sure.
And we've lost the art form, which is where it all came from in the first place.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that music wasn't always a way to make a living, earn a living, because it has always been for centuries. It's always been you'd play music or you'd write it to sustain a living, which is important.
Mm.
But the whole thing about where we're at the moment is like data and streaming. I mean, what does that mean? Oh, you can now look and see how much you're streaming in so-and-so, and you're getting your 25 cents because you're streaming this much in somewhere. What does that mean exactly? And who really cares about all that? What an artist or a songwriter or a musician cares about is that if their music's being heard.
Yep.
That is what we do it for.
Yeah.
We don't do it for any other reason. Well, some of us might want fame and fortune and all that. The main reason a lot of people start off in the first place is because they've got this drive to create something and they want to make it. And that's more powerful than anything.
Mm.
Maybe the disconnect that we have now is that a lot of it's made purely for sale. You know, in the 70s when you had your Tom Petty's and the Eagles and all that, these bands that were just like becoming massive, they didn't do it for the money. They never did it for the money. They ended up, you know, earning millions, but they did it because they wrote great songs.
Yeah.
They started with the songs.
Yeah.
And a lot of the managers or record labels would take a punt, you know, they'd go, well... But then something, I was in the Tom Petty documentary actually, they were talking about the, you know, managers would take a punt on you and then it would go from there, even if it was weird. But now they do the accounting and the forecasting before you even get out of the stable.
Yeah. And they're judging you before you've even done
that. Yeah. And then, so what does that mean? So I don't feel any connect or passion with a lot of the stuff that is really well known, because it doesn't feel like it's even, they're even trying to connect with me on a musical level. And I think that's, you know, because when you're a musician, you do listen to things in a different way, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I love what I do, because I get to hear these songs that people have done because they really wanted to do them.
Sure.
And they love them.
Yeah.
And they're really proud of them.
You think we need to be maybe... altering the version of success that we're selling to younger musicians?
Well, I've always been a little bit funny like that. I mean, success to me is writing a great album.
Yeah.
And people I admire, they do it because they want to do it. Success to me isn't if you've sold lots and lots of albums. Success to me is whether or not you love what you do. But that's not to say it's not a good thing to earn a lot of money out of your music.
Yeah.
That's a great thing, and I wish I could, and I hope I do one day.
Mm.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing because it means you can create more and you can keep going and you can get deeper. It's actually really important to be paid for your work.
Mm.
But what is success? My success is definitely about how great the work is,
yeah.
how proud you are of what you've done.
Yeah.
Everything else is just a circus, you know?
And that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about Jan and Songbroker, you'll find links in the episode show notes. Make sure to follow her on social media before she releases her new album, as it sounds super interesting. Jan's pick for Artist of the Week is Andrew Keegan. That's spelt K-E-O-G-H-A-N. So I'm not sure if it's Keegan or Coogan or Kurgan or who knows, but that's how you spell it. Check him out. You'll find links to Andrew's music in the episode show notes as well. So that's us. New episodes as and when I can manage it. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and get involved with the Facebook pages and email list to keep updated on the next episode. This podcast and the website musiciansmap.org is dedicated to sharing knowledge and advice about music and the music industry. It's all about community, honesty, and positive progress. The experiences, stories, and advice shared on the podcast are given freely with the hope that you can relate to them and benefit from them. If you've found this podcast enjoyable or useful, make sure to check out the Musicians Map ebook and audiobook about building success in music. You'll find it at musiciansmap.org/books, Amazon, and Audible. And buying a copy of the book directly contributes to the continuation of this podcast. There's also a free ebook, How to Get Your Music Heard. Go to musiciansmap.org/free-book to get your copy. If you have a suggestion for the podcast or for the YouTube channel, or you just want to get in touch and say hello, please do so via the Musicians Map Facebook group or by email at kane@musiciansmap.org. Thanks for listening and stay positive.